Well, social media is changing all the time, and it seems like it's changing faster and faster every single year. In this conversation, we're going to rank the 11 biggest social media trends of 2025 and tell you which ones are winners and which ones you should probably avoid. Let's talk about it. You're listening to the Reach Right podcast, the show dedicated to helping your church reach more people and grow. Well, hey guys, I'm Thomas.
And I'm Ian.
And today we are ranking the top church social media trends for 2025.
Yeah.
Something that we like to do are some of these ranking type of episodes. And
yeah.
What better thing to rank than the things that we are trying on social media? What's working,
yeah.
What isn't, and we'll talk a little bit about that. So before we get into it, we should probably chat a little bit about like how we came up. Well, I guess we haven't come up with these rankings yet. You don't know what the rankings are, and I just have my own ideas. But how I'm going to judge the ranking of these different trends is primarily on effectiveness, whether or not it actually is working now. And I think that the common thing you'll find in these different trends is some of them used to be great 5 years ago, and we're still doing them and expecting the same kind of results when really they don't work the same. So we're trying to measure things that work in the primarily in getting reach. That's the primary metric we think that's most important for social media. All the other metrics kind of drive reach. So yes, it's good to measure comments and likes and those kinds of and shares and that kind of stuff. But all of those serve to grow the reach of a particular post. So with that in mind, we want to talk about that. I will say that we also do want to weigh in not just the number of, there is something to be said for watch time also. So, you know, the reach, if you reach one person and they watch a 45-minute sermon, you have to give that more value than you reach one person that saw a meme picture on Instagram, right? There's more value to your church and your actual what matters most to you in that. So we will take that into consideration a little bit, and we'll go from there. So Ian, how are we going to rank these?
We're going to explain the ranking system, right? And this is always fun. So first, as far as what we would highly suggest, meaning this is very effective, would be what we call a heavenly hit.
Heavenly hits,
so heavenly hits are the best. And then the next one, which would be a solid trend that works sometimes, would be called a Sunday so-so. So we have a Sunday
a
so-so.
Sunday so-so, okay.
Which
got
is kind of another way of saying that would be mid, right? So there you go.
It's mid. I don't know, like for kids now, mid means bad.
That's
like
bad.
If you say
it means
bad.
It actually doesn't mean, you're right. It means worse than middle of the pack.
Right,
if
but
you
they
will,
call it
or
mid,
whatever.
Right?
We're saying middle of the pack. Whatever. So, but they do call it that. So, but, and then lastly, the one you don't want to hear, if you're using this, is a bad one, a waste of time that can actually hurt you, would be church chills. This is kind of a funny term.
Church chills.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, like a bad chill, like a, spooky chill.
Got it.
So, there you go. So, that's what we have, Thomas. And you want to kick it off as far as we have 11 of these trends we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
And numero uno, the first one would be one that's a big one, right, that everyone knows about, live streaming services.
Live streaming services. So definitely 5 years ago when COVID started coming around, this was an absolute heavenly hit. And it was such an amazing timing, like that, you know, live streaming just became accessible when we had this. I don't know what we would have done if COVID came around 5 years earlier. We would have all really struggled with that. Now, I'm coming at it from a perspective in Hawaii where we shut down our churches for 18 months and it was just a total catastrophe here. But live streaming saved our bacon it was, God had a plan regardless. So I'm not going to say God saved, God did what he was going to do. But today, I would have to, with the exception of only the largest and best produced churches, I have to give this a church chill ranking.
Ooh, a chill.
A church chill right out of the gate.
That might be a surprise to many. Yeah.
I think so, yeah, because like I think it is. Here's the thing that I think so many of us need to hear is that like your live stream is like, it's just not very good. Like, just to say it very plainly, if you are like most churches, and you and I, we see these every single day, we work with churches, we consult churches, and something that the consultation I give over and over again is that you probably don't need to live stream your church services anymore. Yeah. The reason for that is that we find that most people that are going to watch your sermons, they probably are going to watch only the sermon portion, first of all. Because, and we know this as a fact, because we can pull up your YouTube videos and we can take a look at that. When there's worship, there's what you call the classic hockey stick pattern that you always have on a YouTube video. But like, I look at most churches, it goes from 100% viewership at the very beginning, because that's how you start every video on YouTube. And it goes down to like 5% is kind of the viewers right out of the gate. And then they usually will try to scan for the sermon part, and then they'll find it, and then your viewership will go back up to like 20% there. That's a signal to YouTube and every other streaming platform that people don't like this content. This is not something that's interesting to them. So I think for 98% of churches, I would say, you are much better off just focusing on making a good video on demand kind of setup. So you would take the sermon portion of your service and do the editing you need to do for that, and putting that onto YouTube and other social platforms, specifically YouTube. That's your best opportunity.
Yeah.
The exception to this rule is for your very large churches that can do the kind of production.
Right.
Like, it's so hard to get the worship mix right in a live stream. You have to have invest a lot. You have to have multiple people managing it on the day of. And so unless you're able to invest that kind of work, we think it's probably not the best idea. We've done whole episodes about this. I won't belabor it anymore. Yeah. I'll link to one of them right up here, where you can learn about why we say stop live streaming your services. Yeah. But for today, it's a church chill.
Yeah. And last thing I'll say about this one, because I think this will surprise many. I think a lot of churches view this as something that is more effective just because they can do it now.
Right.
Because like you said, it became easier during the pandemic. So I think the excitement is that it became easier to do. And so that's the appeal is, oh, wow, we are able to live stream our services now easily. Yeah. But you're right. The quality is a different question. So that's, I would just say. Well, next one, event promotions. Promoting your events.
Uh-oh. Event promotions is the next one.
Event promotions.
So by this we mean, I assume, making posts to promote events at your church.
Right.
Video, still. So there again, there's going to be some rare exceptions to this, and I hate to do this twice in a row, but I think this is a church chill. Like, I think that, like, this is something that we used to do when we had an old system of social media.
Yeah.
The old way social media worked is that when people followed you, they would be able to and more likely to see your content. And almost everybody that saw your content was someone that followed you. Now we live in an era with social media where people are more likely to discover your content through algorithms, whether they follow you or not. So what that leads to is that a lot of people that are going to see your content at your church are not at a place where they can come to an event or get involved at your church. They're, you know, they might be local, but they might be somewhere on the other side of the country or even the world. And so you're much better off making content that doesn't promote, like, if your idea behind a social post is to get people to come out and do ministry or be involved in a ministry there at church, you're missing the opportunity that social media is. Social media itself can be the ministry. It's not a tool to promote other ministry in most cases. So I'm sure there's some exception to this. You could probably make really great content. Like, so we did some pretty good posts just recently that were creative around our Christmas Eve service, but it wasn't all about, like, come to Christmas Eve service. That wasn't the theme of the post.
Yeah.
While that was a kind of a tagline that was in there, it was about telling the stories and the photography and the video of people really having a cherished time and families loving one another while they're lighting candles. Like, that's what moved the post forward on that. So there's some clever ways that you can kind of softly do it, but the way we always have thought about it, it's done. Like, those days, they may come back, but for now they're over.
Yeah, you and I remember, we've been around long enough to where when Facebook first started and when churches started using it, here's what I saw all the time. Event promotion, scripture of the day, event promotion, scripture of the day. So, or devotional thought, whatever it would be. So, but, so that's it. Well, we got to get positive going up from here, maybe, and we're bound to, but this next one here is, what about behind the scenes content for your church?
Okay. Behind the scenes content. I like it. Okay, so it's not going to be another church chill. Let's just get that out of there. The question is, where does it rank? Is it a heavenly hit or is it a Sunday? I hate calling it a Sunday so-so because that sounds bad. But so behind-the-scene content, we're talking about things that are happening that are, you know, almost like outtakes sometimes, or we talked about this with our social media team at our church just yesterday about, you know, kind of footage of our church staff praying for our church, you know, having a post that's about that of a, and kind of highlighting the fact that, you know, have leaders that are praying for you in the church and doing those kinds of things. So, I like it. It's a general good thing, but I'm not ready to call it like a total, a heavenly hit, I don't think yet. Okay. So I'm going to call it a high Sunday so-so. So it's a high, a high so-so, if you will.
That's funny.
So that's kind of where I would put that. I do recommend that churches do it, but it's not going to be something that like moves the needle drastically for you, I don't think.
Agreed. Yeah. Here and there possibly. So,
yeah.
Okay. Next one, testimonials and stories.
This is so broad. Testimonials and stories.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think this is going to all come down to how you edit the testimonial and story.
Good.
So if you are going to put in the work to make it feel like a, I'm talking about like if we were doing it as a short form video, so things that'll go on Reels or TikTok or YouTube Shorts. I think if you do it that way and you're going to pull out the stops on the editing, have it really well edited, not like long form content like we're doing right now with, you know, me saying, and that kind of stuff, not having that in there, and you actually edit it really well, maybe have B-roll footage coming in. I think it can get up to a heavenly hit. But if it is something that is just kind of, you're going to get just a raw, you know, 50-second testimony from someone and not do a lot of editing on it, it could probably not move the needle much for your church. So we'll call it a heavenly hit with the expectation that you're going to probably spend more time editing it than you would actually recording it. The recording is part of, is you have to do that, but like actually putting in the editing work, maybe using a tool like CapCut, that kind of stuff to do it. We have great videos that our lead video editor, David, has put together here on exactly how to do that. So I'll link to that right up here. You'll want to check that out. So you put in the work, I think it's a hit. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I agree with you. And one thing, testimonies will always remain powerful for sure, but it's again, how they're done and edited. So that's good. So next one would be sermon clips.
Yeah. Okay. So this one, again, it's going to depend on how you do it, but I think this one has the potential to be the biggest of the heavenly hits.
There we go. We're getting from negative to positive.
Getting better, right? Exactly.
Yes, we are.
Okay. So sermon clips have this huge advantage of at churches, we are producing video content for most of us every single week. That video content, because it's 45 minutes, it's long form, it's not easy to swallow for a lot of the general public. But in most cases, you can glean out or clip together a 45-second version of a point in that sermon. And when that's done well, with excellence, I think this is something that has the biggest opportunity for most churches to move the needle. Because in my experience, I think a church can probably generate about three good sermon clips every single week. You have probably three high points that you can choose. And if you do, I think that that's kind of, you're well down the road of producing the volume of content that'll actually move things forward for your church. So again, invest in the editing part. You probably are already doing the video, but you do the editing, use our guide on how to do that. And you will actually see results in this area. So probably, I don't know what the rest will be yet, but probably at the top of the heavenly hits for me, this is the biggest opportunity most churches have.
Boom, agreed. And this next one, I'm curious to see what you say, Facebook groups.
Okay, Facebook groups. Okay, so I think my view on this has changed over the years. So I think when we started doing this, there was this question, and when I say started, you and I have been coaching churches on this for 15 years or something like that. Yeah. So as long as Facebook's been around, you know, I was talking to churches about it, like right when I first got my, when it first opened to the public. So for the question initially was, should my church have a Facebook group or a Facebook page?
Right.
And the answer to that question is categorically, you should have a Facebook page.
Right.
Like, so you, your church should have that.
Yes.
That's not really up for debate. The question I'm wrestling with here is, does it make sense for a church to have, in addition to a page, a Facebook group? So I am a huge fan of Facebook groups. I'm part of many of them in the church world, but it's usually people that work at churches that are in a specific field. So I'm part of church creative Facebook groups, church communication Facebook groups. I'm part of SEO Facebook groups of people that want to learn how to do search engine optimization. I'm part of business owner Facebook groups. I'm part of buy and sell groups on Facebook. So I use a lot of Facebook groups personally. And I think there's a case to be made for churches to use Facebook groups for kind of just general communication. So things like prayers that people have. Someone wants to post a prayer that they need to share or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't think kind of like a very top-down Facebook group where the church is the only one that posts on it. But if the whole church is involved in a Facebook group and it's a place where we can share ideas, things the Lord is speaking to us, prayer requests, those kinds of things, I think it's a good opportunity. So it's ebbed and flowed for me. I'm going to put it as a Sunday so-so for right now, because I still think there is some opportunity there. So you may disagree. Maybe I think maybe some people would call it a church chill because it's just not it's kind of, it has a, Facebook is just, people generally view it pretty negatively now, I would say.
Right.
But and I think there's an opportunity.
Yeah. That's good. Well, next one would be an interesting one here. Social media challenges.
Yeah. So I think that those days have come and gone in a lot of ways, right? So like I think back to the granddaddy of all the challenges, which was the ice bucket challenge.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
Everybody did it. And what an impact that made for ALS and just, you know, the awareness that it drove. So cool to see all that stuff. I'm hard pressed to think of one in the last couple of years that I even remember as one that stood out or saw people doing.
Yeah.
So I think it's been generally replaced by trends, like so, like certain trending things. So there's trending meme formats, for instance, that you'll see people doing, like they'll do the same video trend or style as everybody else, or trending audio that maybe there's a funny audio clip you can make a meme out of or do something like that. And we've done that. We've done very well with that at our church even. But as far as challenges, I think those days are over, probably. Could come back.
Yeah.
But today, I wouldn't try to start a challenge at my church. I don't think that would be worth its worth the squeeze on that juice.
Yep.
So let's call it a church chill.
I agree. Okay, volunteer spotlights.
I like it. I like volunteer spotlights. I think it's another, it's in that same vein as the testimonies and the behind the scenes content for me.
Right.
Like, so it depends on what you put into it. I think just as a category, if done well and like really digging in and telling charming stories about volunteers with great video editing, I think that that's, it could be a heavenly hit.
Yeah.
But I think at the same time, I would probably put most of that effort into getting my sermons to that place. So I'm not against it. Like, I think every church should do it. Like, you should do a volunteer spotlight, but it's not, I don't think it's one of those things that you make it like, you know, volunteer spotlight Thursdays or something like that, where it's an every week kind of video or post that you do.
Right.
But I think more organically, like I could see a carousel post of people caught in the act doing service within the church.
Yeah.
I think that kind of a post would be something that's probably a pretty
more
solid performer
and,
on things and would get some results. So again, it depends on what you put into it. I'm going to call it a church or a Sunday so-so, but it could elevate to a hit, or it could be downgraded down to a church chill,
depending
on how you edit it and how you do it. But
as
a category, I think it's pretty good.
All right. Number nine is seasonal content.
Yeah. Okay. So it depends on the season. Like, so some seasons are better than others, and the two primary seasons are our two big home run seasons in churches of Easter and Christmas.
Right.
We just came out of Easter. Christmas. We just came out of Christmas. We're thinking about Easter already. And we created a lot of content around Christmas. We did this one thing at our church. I loved this one we did, where we went around and interviewed people in our church about when is the right time to put up your Christmas decorations. And so we kind of had this little war going on between before or after Thanksgiving. Uh-huh. That was kind of the question, and it was pretty 50-50 split, but there was kind of a little bit of kind of friendly ribbing that was going on between people on that. So that's seasonal. That worked really well. I think that, like, around Christmas, around Easter, you will get boosts in the algorithm if you're using seasonal content. So to me, I feel like, yes, if it's the month of December, most of your content should have a Christmas bent to it, that is kind of spelled out using the term Christmas in your actual text on the post. You will see an increase in results. Using the term Easter in, you know, March or April, whenever it falls this year, will help you with results. I think Christmas is probably the biggest. You'll probably, because here's the thing we have to remember, is these algorithms are not Christian algorithms, and there are fewer people searching for Easter or Good Friday related content than they are Christmas related content.
Right.
So you'll do better with some of those universal ones around Thanksgiving and that kind of stuff too. You'll do pretty well. So I think it's a hit. I think that's a heavenly hit. I think you should be making that a major part of your social media strategy, is bringing forth some seasonal content every time you get into season.
Yeah, that's good. All right, next one, church announcements.
As social media content, church announcements. No, that's a terrible idea. Like, you shouldn't do your church announcements on social media. I mean, again, you could probably find ways to do this well, but like we were saying before, that is something that worked in a time when most of the people that saw your content were people that followed you and went to your church.
Right.
Now, most of the people that see your content are people that are not yet a part of your church and don't care about the fact that you have a potluck happening on Thursday of this week, right? So that's not something that works. So unless you're very outward focused, or you're like a church home kind of church where you guys have campuses all over the world, you know, maybe you can make a case for that. But for most of us, that's a church chill.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. Last and not least, user-generated content.
Okay, good. This is one that we are we're testing this out a lot right now at our church. The idea, and when I think of this, there's lots of ways to think about it. It's basically using content that has been generated by your users, right? So that's what we're talking about with this. The primary way that I see this working now is doing things like a collaboration with people that are maybe a part of your church. And leveraging their social media presence with yours. So let's say you have a person that has some level of influence on social media that's a part of your church. Maybe they're just a general influencer. I'm always surprised by this, right? So our lead video editor, David, like, so regular guy, he's a youth pastor at his church, has a huge following because he makes Smash Brothers content, Super Mario Smash Bros. Content, right? So he's an influencer in that realm. And so there's something to be said. Now, is there a lot of overlap between, like, people interested in things of the Lord and the gospel and people that love Smash Bros. Content? It's not obvious. I mean, I think it probably corresponds with the overall population correlation there. But lots of people in your church, probably you'd be surprised. There's some influencers in most churches. And we think influencers, we think like Instagram influencers that are doing hair and makeup and that kind of stuff. But there's influencers for everything. There's woodworking influencers and computer hardware building influencers. And there's podcast influencers and all this kind of stuff. So chances are there's people in your church that maybe are in these kinds of realms. And you can do collaborative videos. That's user-generated content. And then also I've seen some opportunities there when it comes to like taking other people's photos, pictures, videos from your church and then reposting it or putting it on your Instagram stories. Like, so especially around the holidays, that kind of stuff, people share family photos from Christmas Eve service, pop it in your church's stories. Pretty good opportunity there, I think. So Heavenly Hit or So-So, Sunday So-So. I think it's just cracking Heavenly Hit, I think. I think it's something that is in the ascendancy. I imagine when we do this next year, it'll be a solid Heavenly Hit. But so, I think right now, it's becoming like a Heavenly Hit.
Made it into heaven, but they have a real small house. They barely made it. Yes.
Probably. Maybe a heavenly duplex. Let's put it that way. That's what they're
their
living in.
Their back is against the pearly gates once they got in.
They have a heavenly walk-up apartment, five stories up. So that's what it is. So something like that. But. Good.
Well, this
was fun. I want to know, I bet you people disagree with a lot of this stuff that I said here today. And so, and I'm not doing it intentionally. I'm not trying to troll anybody here. But if you disagree, I would love to hear your take on things. Or maybe there's a trend we didn't even talk about that you're seeing is really working, a heavenly hit, if you will. We'd love to hear what you think about that. Drop us a comment down below. Let us know what you think about our rankings, what you would rank it as, maybe some other ideas. Thanks, guys, for being a part of the Retried family. And we'll see you next time.
See ya.